You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
You saw the game-winning play once, but have to replay it three times on the way back to the hotel. Because some moments don't end at the buzzer. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
President's Day savings are happening now at the Home Depot with up to 40% off select appliances. Looking to upgrade your fridge? Check out LG's newest model, serving up ice in all kinds of styles. Cube, crushed, craft ice, and now new mini craft ice straight from the dispenser. From cold brew to fizzy favorites, these refrigerators will have you entertaining like a pro. Shop President's Day savings and get up to 40% off, plus free delivery on select appliances like LG at the Home Depot. Free delivery on appliance purchases of $1,498 or more. Offer valid February 5th through the 25th, U.S. only. See store online for details.
I can feel it coming in the air tonight. Oh, Lord. Anyway, that's how I'm opening up today. Little Phil Collins. If you don't know who Phil Collins is, he's got a couple good songs from the 80s. Highly recommend him. Good guy. Now, that has nothing to do with deer hunting. It is, what time is it? It's like 8:30 on Thursday night. You're probably listening to this on a Friday or the following Monday. Just know that this morning, for some reason, my cell cams went bananas. They went berserk. I am flipping through this morning. I woke up, grabbed my coffee, and I scrolled through deer picture after deer picture after deer picture. It just seemed like every trail camera triggered from about 3 in the morning till about 8 o'clock, and then it kind of shut off. And so we have this giant time frame. Why did they move? Does it have something to do with the moon? I don't know. I don't think so. Does it have something to do with the cold front? Well, the big part of the cold front is over. So that may or may not have to do with it. Is it the October lull is over? Don't know. There are days, and I'm perplexed. I'm a redneck. I'm perplexed by this. All of a sudden, there's certain days where there is just a big shift in deer movement. There's a bigger deer movement that is captured. And then this evening, a couple deer showed up in daylight. One of my shooters showed up in daylight, and that's it. But it was in the timber. It wasn't on a field edge or anything like that. So who knows, right? Who knows? Maybe it was the wind has been blowing out of the north for so many days, and now there's a wind shift and it's coming out of the south again. That might have something to do with it. Don't know, right? All I know is that a lot of deer got captured on camera today, and now I got to put the pieces of the puzzle together on where I need to be in a handful of weeks. Also, I'm debating whether or not I want to go jump in to a good stand next week at some time, maybe on Friday, to just check my river bottom trail cameras. And I want to do this because I need to make a decision of where I want to spend most of my rut vacation. I got a couple good shooters on my farm that is a long ways away, and then my main farm that I've been hunting for a lot. There's one buck right now that I would undoubtedly shoot. He was my number one hit lister last year. As I talk to Justin Czar in this episode today, you'll hear me talk about how his antlers, he went from like a 175 last year to a 3x4. Just no tines at all. Just two giant G2s, two long main beams, and like a G3 on the other side, very small, kind of crab clawed. And so, interesting, to say the least, that he went from 170, maybe he was injured, to like 135, 130 this year. Giant. Just a big bodied. I'm guessing he's going to be a six-year-old this year. See, I have him at there. I have him there. I have him there. Yeah, so 3, 4, 5. So I'm guessing he's a six-year-old this year. Gigantic body. Me and my daughter saw him during early season, and I wanted her to shoot him, but I would undoubtedly shoot him. Now, the reason I want to go hunt is because I want to go to one of my river bottom stands and to check trail cameras along the way, and I might as well go and hunt it while I'm down there. So I might give up an afternoon. I need kind of a north wind or a southwest wind to hunt this particular location. I might have to saddle up. I already have a stand in there that's good, really good for a north wind. However, I'm going to have to hunt it regardless of the wind direction. So I'll probably bring my saddle in and be extremely mobile and try to find out what's moving in there. Check the trail camera and then bring it back, check it. And then that'll tell me whether or not there's any deer down in that bottom that I am currently interested in hunting. So it's going to have to be over 150 this year, in order, like 150, 160, for me to even approach that farm, because I do have two shooters over, you know, who are in that 4, 5, 6 year old age range on the other farm that is further away. And so that's where I've killed my last two deer. I'm going to be completely honest with you, it holds great deer and it's easier to access, right? It's just easier to access. Once you get into past the gate opening, it's just easy. I can walk to my tree stand easier. It's just easier. It's a mowed path almost all the way to this gate, and then I just got to walk through a CRP field to get to a couple stands. And I don't know, I'm getting to the age where I wouldn't mind a couple easy hunts. I don't mind grinding, don't get me wrong, but I just got lucky on this other farm. The river bottom farm, it's a long walk. It is up and down some hills through some nasty stuff, but it also has really good deer movement on it. So I'm not really sure. I got to go check some camera cards before I make a final decision. And then hell, I might even bounce back and forth. So got some good deer on camera starting to show up. Certain deer are getting close, if not already daylighting. And long story short, I'm getting excited for the pre-rut, and because that is where I shine personally. That's where I have found the most success, is before the chaos of the rut, when the bucks are ready to breed, but the does are not ready to breed. So that's my time. I love that time. Then I also have to start getting ready for Kansas in the upcoming weeks, and that's looking like the third, probably halfway through the second week in November into the third week of November, and I'm going to be heading down to Kansas. I'm going to be sleeping in my uncle's garage and giving Kansas a shot, and we'll see what plays out there. All right, and that's it. I'm shooting my bow on a regular basis now. Got to do that. Got to shoot your bow. Got to make sure you have your safety harness. Got to make sure all your equipment is in order so that when you get out there, you don't have kind of an oh shit moment and you kind of just fall to pieces. So prepare. Today's episode is not about preparation. It's a good old-fashioned BS session with an absolute unit of a human being, Mr. Justin Czar. I've known Justin for a very long time. He's my age. He has the same amount of kids as me. He's relatable, and he tells the truth. And so I really like that in a human being. And that's why I like having him on to BS, to catch up, and to provide some good insight on the hunting industry and the hunting life, the lifestyle that we all decide to live. So that's what is on the menu for today. Now, I do have to run through some commercials. Do me a huge favor. Just go to their websites, check it out. That's all I want you to do. And I'm going to go in reverse order. I'm going to start with Full Sneak Gear. That's my company. I got inventory of hats and stocking caps and sweatshirts and t-shirts. So go to fullsneak.com and pick something out. If you're a gun hunter, I got some blaze orange stocking caps that you can use during the gun season. Go put one of those in your cart and buy it. Next on the list is Reveal trail cameras. You got to go check a Reveal. I'm telling you, put batteries in the camera, you download the Tacticam or the Reveal app, and then you scan a QR code and your camera is ready to use. It's that simple and it works. And that's what I always want in a trail camera, for it to work. So go to Tacticam.com and check out the new 3.0 Reveals. Next on the list is Huntworth. Dude, Huntworth is legit. I beat the shit out of my equipment all year long, and Huntworth holds up. I love it. I just absolutely love it. I love knowing the people. I love that the garments are tough. And most of all, in this economy, I love that they are affordable. So if you want high quality hunting gear, you got to go check out huntworthgear.com. Code Blue Sense. If you're looking for real synthetic deer urine, scent elimination products, you got to go check out Code Blue Sense. CodeBlueSense.com. Discount code NFC20 for 20% off. Next, if you live in a state where you can run a feeder, you got to go check out the Feed Hub. The Feed Hub is a device that can connect to any SpinCast feeder, and it allows you to remotely monitor and control your feeder. You can program when you want the feeder to go off. You can check the feed levels. It allows you to be very efficient with your feeders on when to check them. Go check out MoultrieMobile.com and look at the Feed Hub. I don't got to say too much about this next one. Vortex Optics, man. Spotting scopes, range finders, legit people, right? Anything you need in the optics game, they got it. You want an awesome apparel company with some sweet logos and some sweet garments, go check out their apparel line. Sunglasses, they got them. All the accessories you need for sharp shooting or long range shooting, if you're into firearms, they got all the assets you need, accessories you need for your firearms. So vortexoptics.com, bing, bang, boom, VIP warranty. Go check them out. Next on the list, Wasp Archery. There's something demented in a way about my excitement when a three-blade jackhammer goes through the vitals of a mature whitetail. I absolutely love that. And so if you want to get the same excitement that I get putting a well-placed broadhead through the vitals of a mature whitetail, please go check out wasparchery.com. Check out the jackhammer. Check out the drone. Check out the Boss 4-blade. Badass, made in America products. Awesome equipment, awesome design, wasparchery.com, discount code NFC20 for 20% off. Last, if you want to swing through the trees like Tarzan with a compound bow, trad bow, rifle system in your hand, you got to go pick up a saddle from Tethered. Just legit equipment, and they are refining their products every year based off of what their customers want. They rely heavily on the end users of their products to design and develop their next line of saddles and saddle hunting accessories. So basically, they make products for you and for all different versions of you. So go check out tether.com. And if you want to become a saddle hunter and become as mobile as humanly possible, this is the next step. All right, good vibes in, good vibes out, and we will talk to you next week. Enjoy. Here's how this episode is going to start. It's going to start by me asking today's guest, Justin Czar, why he very rarely returns my text messages anymore.
That is a lie.
Bullshit.
Possible lie. Let me check my phone.
Love it.
I am a busy guy, Dan.
Yeah.
And I hate everyone. I don't hate you, but I hate a lot of people. No, I don't. Yeah. That's not fair to say.
It's Dan, not fair to say Johnson. on my
I return your you're right. I didn't return from April. That was from April. I was probably mad that day, Dan.
Yeah. Love it. So how's your life going?
You know what, Dan? I can't complain too much.
Yeah.
Doesn't do me any good anyways. Life's pretty good, man.
Yeah. That's a news answer. That's a news answer because before I hit the record button, you were letting me know exactly how
customers suck and they always are going to piss me off.
I gotcha.
But that you can't let that affect your life, Dan.
I got you.
Life is bigger than asshole customers.
Hey, are you able to have a really bad day at work, get in your car and just shut it off? Or do you carry any of that home with you ever?
I think I would give you one answer and my wife would give you another answer.
Love it. Oh, yeah.
You know, I don't really, it's interesting. I'm one of those people, like when I leave work, I don't like to talk about work, like with anybody. Like I come home and my wife's like, how's your day? What did you do? Blah, blah, blah. And it's like, I don't want to talk about any of it. Doesn't matter if it was good or bad. There's no part of me that wants to have those conversations. I'm like, let's talk about something else, anything other than work.
Anything else. Dude, I'm the same exact way. So, you know, I run into all sorts of people coaching, and now that I'm involved with my kids and their activities, you're always running into different types of people, and the conversations start to happen. What do you do? You know, my wife is always like, you know, once my wife finds out that one of her friends or someone that she meets husbands hunt or fish, she's like, oh, Dan, you need to talk to this guy. You need to talk to this person about hunting because you guys share similar interests. And it is the absolute last thing that I want to talk about. Dude, don't get me wrong. I love hunting, but I don't want to talk about hunting.
Like I get mad when people find out that like I hunt,
oh,
you know, and then they want to talk to me about it. And I'm just like, oh, I don't know why that is though, because it's like with my hunting bros, that's all we do is talk about
exactly
hunting.
Same.
But then
same
if thing. It's like somebody outside of my circle wants to talk to me about hunting and I'm like, I don't want to talk to you about hunting.
Yeah.
I'm just like, I just kind of pretend like, oh yeah, you know, like, you know, it's cool. I go every once in a while, you know?
Yeah. Well, and the other thing
literally
is,
dude, so we were talking about just a second ago, we were talking about our kids being sick, mm-hmm. right? And being home. So my oldest is sick. He's got pneumonia actually. So he's home. So I had to send a message to his basketball coach this morning. His basketball season just started for him. They have 7 a.m. practices. I sent his coach a message. Hey, man, you know, Joey's sick today. He's not going to make it. And he's like, oh, you know, really sorry to hear that, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, by the way, the Bucks are really starting to move. I've been getting trail camera pictures of I never talked to this dude in my life. I've never met him in person, but I guess one of my son's friends ratted me out to the coach and was like, because they knew the coach hunted, and they were like, Joey's dad hunts and he's got this YouTube show or whatever.
Yeah.
So now the coach is messaging me about his trail camera pictures, which I think is cool. I don't get me wrong. I do enjoy it because it's kind of rare around here to find people that hunt. But it's just like, it's one of those things where I was like, dude, that's awesome, I guess.
Yeah. I don't know. It's, I humor everybody and I talk to them. But here's the thing. Okay. So there's hunters and then there's the next level up. Right. Guys who are extremely serious about it, guys who use their vacation for it. And so you have these conversations with these people sometimes, and it's everybody's on different levels. And I never want to so for example, this was 2 summers ago. This guy, I met this guy at a picnic that you know, my neighbor had. And so it was like this 4th of July gathering. There was two parties going on door to door, and people were bouncing back and forth and whatever. And this guy starts talking about deer hunting. And he starts saying things like all everything that was a myth that has now been proven to be true, like not true. He's that guy. He's like, oh yeah, I got to call these deer. You know, I got to start shooting these 8-pointers because I don't want 8-pointers. I want 10-pointers. I'm just like, I couldn't hold it back that day. And I'm like, actually, that's incorrect. Studies show that that has nothing to do with this. And I, like, I just broke it all the stuff down from them that I got directly from wildlife biologists, you know, for doing this show for so long. He's like, no, that can't be true. I'm like, no. I pulled up all these resources and handed it to him. And he's like, I was crushing everything.
You're deflating this poor bastard, Dan. He's like, get off your high horse, Johnson.
Yeah. And so, and he starts talking about all the, like, you know, it's almost like I beat him once and now he tries to one up me. And then I beat him again. And I just kept going, like, everything that this guy was doing, I was correcting. And not because I didn't like the guy, but it was just like, I got caught on the fucking worst possible day to do this. And it was just like, actually, you're wrong. And I'm going to tell you, not that I'm right. It's just that you're wrong. And here's my sources that will prove you wrong.
It's not that I'm right. It's just that you're wrong. Totally different thing.
So that was, those are sometimes hard conversations to ignore.
I will see people at, like, you know, kids sporting events, stuff, whatever, and they'll be wearing a hunting related something, and I will purposely avoid even acknowledging it. So then a lot of times I try to not wear any of my hunting stuff because I don't want people talking to me being like, oh, hey bro, it's cool Matthew's hat. You know, I'm drawing 80 pounds on my bow.
You're
sweet. Okay. Thanks, dude. I love Cam Haynes.
Yeah. I was just going to say that. They literally talk about the absolutely most popular numbers-driven person in the entire, like, I know this person. I'm like, oh, that's cool. That's cool. Yeah, man, he's a great guy, you know, and like all this and all that. And I'm just like, Jesus.
Shooting those beast broadheads, bro.
Yeah. And then I have to, then I usually say something like, well, I got to go take a shit. I got to leave.
Excuse me.
Yeah. Excuse me. I'm going to dump. So, have you been out at all this year yet?
I have hunted myself personally. I'm going to say 2.5 sits in a tree so far. Okay. The half sit was I took my little dude out, and we only have one double ladder stand. So it was like, this is where we're going. The wind's wrong and everything's not right. But he wanted to go, and my older one wanted to go. And now he's old enough I could just send him to a tree stand on his own. So I do that. He goes, and then took the little dude out. And then I've been on two subsequent hunts for myself.
How old is your oldest now?
12.
Okay, 12. So yep. You trust him enough to send him out. Is he shooting a crossbow or a compound?
No, he's on a compound this year. So he went through his hunter safety class this summer, shot his compound all summer. He actually shot a buck, like our third sit this year. So he killed his first deer with a compound. I actually, for the first, like, well, I guess it was the first week of the season, I went with him and filmed him.
Yeah.
So I filmed the whole thing. We're actually going to start editing the show here probably later today. So I filmed the whole thing, and then I was like, sweet, you killed one, mission accomplished. Now you're going to go on your own and really, like, figure it out.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go hunt. So I've sent him out a couple times on his own. Mom was a little bit more nervous than I was. Like, one night I just dropped him off. He's got a cell phone. I literally dropped him off, and I had my little guy. And I didn't feel like taking him out that afternoon. So I was like, dude, I'm dropping you off. I'll be back at dark. Text me or call me if you shoot something. Otherwise, me and your brother, we're going to fish in the pond and go get some food. We'll be back at dark. Okay. So, yeah.
And so let me ask you this. What are some key indicators that you as a father look for as far as traits or whatever, to say he's ready to go for that to happen. He's ready to get dropped off, and you trust him to hook sure. up to the safety harness and all that stuff.
Yeah. I mean, fortunately, dude, I started taking him when with me, I think the first time he went out, he was 5 or 6, you know, and then when he was 8, he started shooting the crossbow. So he's been hunting with me a bunch. He shot a bunch of deer already, you know, so I was like, all right, you're getting to that age. And I guess for me, it's just like when I was that age, 12 was when you could start hunting, mm-hmm. you know, so for whatever reason, I kind of had it stuck in my head that like 12 is when you're going to start really hunting. You know, so like I said, we went through, did his hunter safety, did awesome, passed, you know, easily, you know, shot his bow all summer. I took him out a bunch during the summer when I was doing tree stand work. I made him come with me. I made him help. I made him trim. I made him climb up into the majority of our stands that we went to. I had him, you know, hook up to the safety line, climb up, get a look around, climb down, you know, so I was like, I mean, let's face it, it's not rocket science, you know, clip in, go up, come down, you know, hell, I was doing that when I was 12 and I didn't have any safety gear at all. I had nothing. I just climbed up and went hunting. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I felt like, you know, he was definitely old enough, and obviously now with cell phones, it's like, all right, I could track where you're at all times, you know, you can call me if there's a problem. So yeah, I felt pretty confident in doing it, and he's pretty mature, I would say. So yeah, and he's pulling, you know, I didn't even realize in Illinois our minimum draw weight is 30 pounds. It was always 40 when I was growing up. Mm-hmm. So I remember having to like work hard my like summer of being 12 years old to get up to 40 pounds, and I cranked his bow up the summer when he really started shooting, and I didn't even test the poundage. He was just shooting where he was comfortable. Mm-hmm. You know, we went a little bit too far. I noticed he was struggling, so I backed it down a little bit, and I had him shooting, and I threw it on the scale just for the hell of it, and it was at 44 pounds.
Oh, nice.
And I was like, well, hell, you're good to go. So, yeah, we made him up some arrows and shot a bunch of broadheads all summer. He was shooting every day after school. I'd make him come home from school, shoot his bow, do his homework, shoot his bow, and then go to football practice. Mm-hmm. He had to shoot every day. And then when I picked him up from practice at night, he'd give me kind of the update on how the shooting went for the day.
Yeah.
So,
and it sounds to me like he wants to do this.
Oh yeah, dude, he loves it. I mean, opening day, like, dude, I mean, you've been around and coach football and played football, like missing practice isn't a thing you do in football. Yeah. It's not like a lot of other sports, dude.
Yeah. Not
you
in my
are,
team.
Your ass is in trouble. Yeah. And he was adamant. He wanted to hunt opening day, which was a Tuesday night, and he had practice. And I was like, dude, coach is going to be pissed. She's going to run your ass, or you're going to sit for a series that you normally would have played. Like, there's going to be a repercussion for this. And he's like, I want to go hunting. I was like, all right. So I just told his coach, I said, hey, look, it's opening day. Mm-hmm. You only get so many of these. This is his first year being able to do this. So we're not going to be at practice tonight. And coach was cool about it.
Yeah.
You know.
Now he's no longer a starter, though, right?
Dude, unfortunately for my kid, somehow he inherited some really good athletic genetics. Not from me by any means, but he starts both sides of the ball, and there's been multiple games he has not come off the field for a single play the entire game. So, yes, he's a way better athlete.
This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices.
Than I ever was. So
yeah, that's awesome, man. That's awesome. Is he going to be a better hunter than you too?
God, I hope so. I certainly hope so, man. He freaking smoked that deer he shot. Yeah. I mean, you couldn't have made a better shot.
Yeah.
You know, it was picture perfect. You know, we had 2 bucks come in, feeding right in front of us in the clover. And dude, they came in all on their own to like probably 18 yards broadside. I mean, it was everything you ask for like your first, you know, do it yourself compound thing. And, you know, I was filming, but as soon as those deer came in the plot, you know, I just shut my mouth, didn't say a word. I was like, I'm going to let him figure out what to do and when to do it and how to do it. Like, I figured if I've taught him anything, he'll know what to do. And he did awesome, dude. He waited for the right time, drew back, you know, made a great shot. So yeah, it was cool. Very, really cool experience. So
is he a seventh grader then?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. One second.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
This episode is brought to you by Peloton. Break through the busiest time of year with the brand new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus. Powered by Peloton IQ. With real-time guidance and endless ways to move, you can personalize your workouts and train with confidence, helping you reach your goals in less time. Let yourself run, lift, sculpt, push, and go. Explore the new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus at onepeloton.com.
I'll insert a commercial right there. I had to shut off
commercial.
I had to, my space heater kicked in. And so I had to shut that off.
All good.
He's a seventh grader. Okay. My daughter, she's a sixth grader and, she froze up a little bit, but I'm not so sure it was 100% her fault. I think I don't know. I wasn't at the same level that she was. And I was telling her, dude, pull the trigger. We had 2 bucks right in front of us. Pull the trigger, pull the trigger, pull the trigger. And it just didn't happen. And she's like, I can't see the body. I can only see the head. And I'm just like, dude, there's an entire opening right in front of us. And I was even lower than her. So I was at eye level with the weeds. So right. I don't know. I'm playing it back 100 times in my head, but.
But dude, at the same time, like, you don't want to force them, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, I love the fact that like you're telling her to do it and she's like, dude, I can't see, Dad.
Oh, that's what,
like,
I, that was my,
that's
takeaway.
A phenomenal thing, like, that's what you want,
yeah,
you know.
Yep.
So yeah, that's good.
That's a good takeaway. All right, so going hunting by himself, that's a big deal.
It's liberating for me because it's great, because now I'm like, sweet, like, wait a minute, when we go hunting, I don't have to be with you. I can literally be like, you know where that stand is, go there, call me if you need me, and I can go actually hunt on my own.
Yep.
You know, I was like, this is actually kind of sweet.
Would you feel the same confidence level with a firearm instead of a bow?
Yeah, I don't see why not. I mean, dude, okay. I was doing it at that age.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, when you go through your hunter safety class, I mean, they may as well just rename it firearm safety class, because that's really what it is. I mean, 90%. Of that class is firearm safety related, as it should be. Right? Yeah. I mean, that's where the majority of your accidents are going to happen, either with a firearm or climbing up or down a tree stand, like, for the most part.
Yep.
You know, if you want to talk safety, those are the two things to focus on. So yeah, I mean, it was great. And you know what was awesome too is in his hunter ed class was at a local, like a high-end hunt club here locally. And what they actually do is they take the kids out to the trap range. And everybody that goes through the hunter safety class shoots live trap with instructors and other people around. And like, it's one thing when it's your parent, right? You know how it goes, like, your kids listening to you. It's another thing when they're around a bunch of strangers, other adults, authority figures, trainers, really instilling in them firearm safety and then letting them get out and actually, you know, shoot live rounds. So they shot a bunch of trap during the hunter safety course, which isn't a mandatory thing in Illinois, and in most places it's not. But this particular facility is awesome because they're like, look, we have a trap range right here. We have full-time employees. This is what they do. So they get all the kids out, and they let them handle firearms and shoot trap and shoot live rounds. And
that's awesome.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was cool.
Yeah. So my buddy, he had kids when he was younger, like 10 years younger than me. So all of his kids are like 10 years older than my kids.
Yep.
And so he's got this, he's got two kids. One is real serious. And the other boy is not near as serious, but he still goes out sometimes. But now he's getting to the point where he's got like a 17-year-old and he's mobile. He knows what he's doing. He's starting to get encounters of like the top tier type bucks on the farm. And he was telling
Dad's
me that,
like, son of
yeah, exactly. He's like, Jesus, I'm not going to be able to shoot any more big deer because my son's going to kill him before I do. So I know he like he doesn't care, but so it's just it's just a joke. But it's cool to see, like, my kids aren't there quite yet. My daughter, she's starting to like, okay, there's a track, the wind, like a little bit of that stuff. But it's really cool. It's almost like a proud dad moment when you're able to pick that up. And I, you know, just putting words in your mouth, that's got to make you feel really good knowing that, hey, all the stuff that I've done up until this point has worked because he still wants to go out. The dude wants to miss football practice to go shoot.
Right.
To go shoot a deer.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I mean, I think he'd rather go hunting than do anything. I mean, he's plays every sport, does every activity. Like, I think hunting, you know, and you can never predict that, you know, it's just, it's so hard because people wrestle with like, when should I get him into hunting? How young is too young? Am I pressuring them too much? Am I bringing him too much? Am I bringing them not enough? And, you know, the reality is, I think I'm not sure that there's a whole lot we can do as parents to dictate their future love for hunting, whether they're going to have it or not. I think most of these kids, like, if they get some exposure to it, obviously, I probably like anything, you could probably overdo it, you know, But short of just like dragging them around and making them miserable and uncomfortable, I don't know if there's much you can do to you know, set them on the right path to make sure that they're going to be a hunter too. Because, man, I have so many, you know, friends that have older kids that just didn't grow up to hunt, that just have no interest in it, just don't do it. You know, they brought them as kids. They shot a couple deer, you know, guns, bows, crossbows, and they just were like, I'd rather go do something else, you know. And I know some of my friends and people I've talked to, they kind of blame themselves. Like, oh, I shouldn't have done this, or I should have done this different. And I'm like, man, I don't know if there's anything that you could have done differently. Yeah. You know, I get it that you want to, and we all want our kids to grow up and kind of be into the things that we're into. But it's not always going to happen. My daughter, zero interest in anything hunting. Like, she thinks it's mean. You know, my boys, they want to go kill everything that moves. My next little guy, he's ready to start going. You know, he's almost eight. He'll be eight here in about a week. I'm going to wait till probably spring and maybe bring him turkey hunting in the spring. Yeah. And then maybe deer next fall. Because eight's when I started his older brother. So I don't want to like, I don't want to jip him, you know, and be like, hey, you got to wait, you know, later. So yeah, maybe next year for him. But he would go, like, if I went home tonight and said, because let's face it, I could set the crossbow up on a tripod. He could shoot it a half dozen times at 20 yards and hit a target.
Yeah.
You know, and we could go out hunting in a ground blind this weekend if I wanted to.
Yeah.
But I'm just not quite ready for that.
Yeah.
I think next year he would go, though. If I asked him tonight, if I went home and said, you want to go try to shoot a deer this weekend? He'd be like, sign me up. Let's go.
Yeah. And your daughter's the youngest of them all, right?
She's in the middle. She's
in the
10.
Middle. Okay. She's 10. Yep. Okay. All right. Gotcha. Gotcha.
Yeah. Zero interest.
It blows my mind. Like, I get to see my kids grow up in front of me because I live with them every day, but it blows my mind that our kids are 12, 10, and 8, right? Yours are all 1 year older than mine.
Yep.
So, you know, mine are 11, 9, and 7. So
it's crazy, dude.
Oh, man. We're going to die soon.
There's no doubt. It's great. Thanks, Dan. We're all going to die soon. Yay. Hooray.
All right. Illinois, obviously, because that's where you live. Do you got any other trips for whitetails? Nope.
Nothing this year. Dude, having kids that age involved in as much shit as my kids are in, like, it just makes traveling so much more difficult, you know. So this year I didn't do any out of state trips at all. I just decided I'm going to just stay home.
Yeah.
You know, just it's so damn expensive and so much time and everything. So next year I should draw a Wyoming elk tag, so I will most likely do that and go hunt with Dustin. I'm contemplating what I want to do for deer next year. If I want to try to draw an Iowa tag, or if I'm just going to wait. I mean, obviously, it's taking so many more points to get down south. I think I'll have four, maybe five. So it's like trying to decide zones, and obviously, you guys are dealing with some EHD this year. So I don't know if I'm going to do Iowa next year. I may do Kansas instead. I have a couple points there, so I should be able to draw a tag if I wanted to do Kansas. So we'll see. I haven't decided yet.
What's your internal thermometer telling you about this time of year, right? We just had this cold front come through, and you know, all the talking heads, you know, everybody's talking about cold front.
Oh my God, there's a cold front. You have to go hunting.
Giants. What are the ones? Some big deer are going to hit the ground this weekend.
Oh, I swear to God, big deer
hitting the ground this weekend.
It's like, well, guess what, guys? Every year around this time, big deer are going to hit the ground regardless, you know? Yeah, dude, Todd and I just talked about this morning. I feel like, you know, in this industry, it's like somebody says something and brings up a point, and then the next guy's like, yeah, and then he says it, and then the next guy, and they all add on to it. And before you know it, everybody's like parroting the same blah, 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 like you just said. Big deer are going to hit the ground the next 5 days with this first cold front that's hitting the Midwest. You know, I've come to the conclusion that, like, you can't kill deer unless you go hunting. So this is what I've determined. And so when my time is relatively limited, I'm going to hunt as much as I can, and I'm going to do the best within the means that I have been given to go try to kill a deer, whether it's the right weather or wind or pressure or whatever the hell we think is the right formula, you know, to breed success. It's just like, guys, you got to be in the woods. Otherwise, you can't kill them. There's too many damn people that are like, don't hunt this time and don't hunt that time. And I'm like, dude, piss off. I'm going to go hunt as much as I humanly can, you know, for better or for worse. Like, I enjoy – this is what I was telling Todd this morning. Too many people have focused in so tightly on the destination that they've lost sight of the journey. Their destination is to kill a deer, right? And we all want to do that. But for them, it's like, it's the only thing that matters. To me, like, it matters how I get there, the process, like the time that I spend in the field. I don't give a shit if it's windy or warm or the wind's the wrong direction. I still like being out there. Man, it's a great day to be in the woods, you know, and I can't kill them if I'm not here. And it's like, so many people are just like honing in this laser focus on like, I need a daytime picture of this deer in this spot, on this wind, with this pressure, and I'm going to go in there and kill him on my first sit. And it's like, you may do that, but it's like, dude, I don't want that to be my whole hunting season. You know? And I was like, oh, okay, it's over. You know? That's just not for me.
I've been thinking about that. Like, there's this, I got two voices sitting on each side of me. Right. I got the one who's like, stack bone, only big bucks. Right. Like, the voice who's like, you got more space on your wall for more bone. Right. And then there's this.
You're a social media influencer. You have to kill big deer. Let's go.
That's the second time this has come up today in a recording. And like, oh, man, it's, and I was talking to Tony about this, Tony Peterson, about this a while ago. It's just like,
I've never met or talked to Tony Peterson, but every time I listen to you guys talk, I feel like he's my kindred spirit.
Yeah.
I'm like, this dude literally has the same thoughts I have.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I bring him on all the time. So, what I'm getting at is just like, man, like, I just want to go do it. Like, I want to go look at deer prints in the dirt. I want to go find rubs and scrapes. I want to go, like, I just want to go do it. But the schedule that I have now with the kids and all that stuff, it's like, I can't do it as much as I want to anymore. Sure. Cause trust me, if I had more time and didn't have to do what I'm doing right now, I'd be out in the woods sitting in a tree stand right now. But instead, I got to record this podcast and I got to go coach football. And, you know, it's all things that I love to do. Don't get me wrong. But I don't know, man. It's just the journey, like you said, it's the journey.
Yeah.
I want to do more of the journey, but at the same time, like I'm so busy with life that I wouldn't be completely upset if I walked in and killed a buck on day one.
Well, I mean, you know, I don't think anybody's going to be upset. Like, oh my gosh. But it's, again, I think sometimes for me, it's like, I feel like sometimes people are sacrificing the experience of being out there at this for the sake of, like, you know, them thinking it's not perfect.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's not absolutely perfect, so I'm just not going to go. And it's like, dude, I just like it. Like you said, I like being out there, looking at tracks, finding scrapes, you know, hey, a fresh rub popped up over here. You know, just the sights, the sounds, the smells. And maybe it's because I'm getting older. Like, I don't even care about shooting deer, big deer anymore. I mean, yeah, I want to, but it's like, if I don't kill one, dude, I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. It's just, you know, save me money on potential taxidermy bills. Speaking of taxidermy, I was thinking, I've been saying this for like 2 years. Now, granted, I haven't shot anything worth mounting probably in 2 years, but like, I'm not sure that I'll ever get another deer mounted. I'm just going to keep Euro mounting all of them.
Yeah.
It's too damn expensive. And they're all just going to end up in a landfill someday when I'm dead.
Yeah. When,
according to you, is very,
very
near.
Soon. Yeah. Yeah. So it's just imagine this. All right. There is a person out there who has spent their entire life hunting, you know, collecting these trophies that were to them. They pass away. Their kids are like, all right, we got 27 deer mounts. What are we going to do with them? Right.
Right.
Where do you donate deer mounts and shed antlers? Like, I'm looking at a wall of shed antlers that I have found throughout the course of my life that I have walked hundreds and hundreds of miles for. And someday they're going to be in a dumpster. You know what I mean?
Dude. Okay. So my buddy, Tom Alford, right? Well, probably my best friend. I talk to him every day. We're like chicks, right? He was on Bow Hunter Die Forever. He decided he's going to go do his own YouTube channel, right? So he's got his own YouTube channel. It's fine. It's fine, Tommy. You want to go do your own YouTube channel. Go subscribe to Buck Elf, by the way. So he is a shed antler freak, dude. I mean, to the umpteenth degree, he's far more shed antlers than anyone I know. He had that thought like a year ago, and he was like, what the hell am I going to do with all these things? You know what he did one day, dude? He just went one day, took a giant box of shed antlers that he had found all over the place. He just started driving through local forest preserves and chucking them out the window, like in fields and like on the edge of the walking path. And he's like, some person's going to be out here, you know, walking around, walking their dog, playing with their kids. And they're going to find this antler that I just chucked out in a mowed field. And they're going to be like, oh, look at this deer antler or whatever. They're going to take it home. So he's like, I don't want them. I'm not going to do anything. We just started chucking them. And he filmed the whole thing.
That would be
driving
fun.
Around tossing antlers out of his window.
So for me, it would be funny. Just imagine going and planting giant sheds out on some piece of public land. And then when
somebody's
some guy
like,
walks
dude,
up,
you're...
they're like, oh shit, I just found a 70 inch side. And then there's a date on it from the original. Cause I put the date of when I found them on the bottom of all mine. So
you just got to bleach that off before you put them on.
Scrub it
there.
Off. It's like, holy cow, this one looks really fresh for 2015. Oh yeah, memories.
Yeah, you could sell them. There's people that make like chandeliers out of them, and drawer pulls, and dog chews, and all sorts of jazz. I have a couple big Tupperware things in my garage full of antlers, and I keep looking at them like I want to reclaim that space for something else. So I keep thinking like, the hell am I going to do with these things? When my dad died, he had a pile of deadheads in his house that we had collected through shed antler hunting over the years. And none of them were tagged, right? They were just ones that we picked up while we were shed hunting. And, like, we never got salvage tags for them. They just were sitting in his house, which is highly illegal. And I don't know about highly. It shouldn't be illegal, but it is. So we had all these things. And I was like, well, I don't want them. What the hell am I going to do with them? My dad lived on a 1,000-acre, swamp. I took them in the backyard, just chucked them all out in the swamp, 20 of them. Somebody probably found them years later and was like, what the hell happened back here? All these deer died in one spot.
There's a giant fight, and then they all got struck by lightning. Yeah. Yeah, so we'll see what happens. Maybe what I'll do is, in my will, I will donate all of my deer stuff to, like, the, like, you know, Shields. They need mounts to fill up their...
Think so?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, if they got mounts all over the walls, like a Shields or a Bass Pro Shop or a Cabela's, they're opening up.
They got
stores.
Like 200 inchers everywhere, Dan. Nobody wants our 140s.
Our 130 or 135s and 140s. Yeah.
They don't care about those. They're all going in a dumpster, I'm sorry to say.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Poor bastards. Speaking of Euro mounts, my buddy Mike, who you should have Mike on the podcast one day. What a hilarious human he is. He killed one of our like two shooters we had on our local farm.
Yeah.
And he killed him last night because there was this cold front. I don't know if you heard about it, but high pressure, cold front, mid octaves, just perfect. And he killed him. And I'm going to Euro mount it for him. So he just, he dropped the head off. It's currently sitting in my driveway behind my boat.
Oh, nice.
He's like, here you go. I left it. It's a big 7-pointer.
Okay.
He was a 4-year-old deer, but beautiful 8-pointer last year. This was one of the deer where, like, you see him as a 3-year-old and you're like, what a specimen. Just a big body, wide, tall, everything that you're like, dude, as a 4- and 5-year-old, that deer is going to blow up. And then he shows up this year, and now he's just a 7-pointer, and he's not even probably as big as he was last year. Bigger mass on his bases, tines weren't as long, you know, and it was like, well, we're not going to pass him, you know, because we won't want to shoot stuff. And he's one of the only, you know, 4-year-old or older deer on the farm. And he walked right in front of him. We always say, like, that was one of the deer we don't want to have an encounter with. Like, we just hope we don't see him because he's old enough where we're going to shoot him, but we don't really want to shoot him, you know. And he walked in front of him last night at, like, 12 yards broadside. And he was like, and he's the same way, dude. Two kids, sports, soccer. He's got two girls doing a ton of stuff. And he's like, between that and work, he doesn't have as much time to hunt like us. So he's like, well, I ain't passing him. So here we go.
Yeah. I got an exact same scenario playing out right now. And I was hoping he would have showed up for my daughter to shoot. And he did, but he showed up way behind us. Mm. And, he was eating acorns that over top that were falling onto a 2-track. And I thought he was going to come in through this cattle pasture. But long story short, last year he was like a 175, 10 with junk off a couple of his G2s and things like that. So he was a stallion of a buck. But he disappears somewhere in October. I got a picture of him last night at dark. And so I know he's still in the area, but he was a 10 last year, like I said, 170s, just a giant, absolute stud. This year, he's a 3x3, or it's like a 3-point side. It's like a main beam, a G2, a brow, and then another little kicker off the brow. And then the other side is a 4-point side with a kicker off one of them. Like, no, it's a 4-point side, but his G2 is like this long, almost crab clawed. And so his cage.
You're like, what happened to you? What
exactly. His cage and his frame are absolutely gigantic. And I'm guessing him as probably a 6- or 7-year-old. Cause I have pictures for the last handful of years of him. I've been running the same exact draw system, all those years. And last year, he disappeared, so I didn't hunt that farm, and I ended up going to a different farm, connecting on the deer that I wanted to there. And he just didn't show up, but now he's back. I got when I put cameras out in and finally got him set up in late August, he's back. So I don't know if he's going to stick around or not, but it's odd how he looked healthy on the hoof when I saw him, but the antlers just went away. So the frame's still there, but the number of points were just gone. So I don't know. Yeah. Like, I need to talk to a wildlife biologist about that. Why did he go from, you know, a 10, a giant 10, to this minuscule 7.
Yeah, I don't know why it happens. I don't know if it's just a genetic thing, if it's an injury, illness, stress. I mean, we had a really easy, mild winter here. We didn't have very much snow, almost no real extreme cold. You know, early spring, plenty of rain. You know, it's dry as hell now. It hasn't rained in forever. But I mean, yeah, I don't know. Like, this deer was one of those deer. But then I had a bunch of, like, younger, like, two-year-olds that absolutely blew into just mega giant three-year-olds. Yeah. You know, so we have a really healthy crop. And going into this year, like, I pretty much knew, like, I have three farms that I hunt. There was not a good crop of, like, three turning four or four or five, five to six. There just wasn't many of them. At the end of last year, it was like, shit, we knew going into 2024, like, it's going to be slim pickings out there. There's just not much happening. So, and yeah, I mean, sure enough, like, that's what I'm dealing with right now. So there's not really too many deer on any of those farms that I'm all that interested in shooting. You know, there's a couple that I would probably poke if they walk by me, but there's nothing that's like keeping me up at night. Like, where am I going to go? What am I going to do? How am I going to kill this deer? There's just nothing that interests me. So instead of worrying about like which one of these scrubby, shitty deer I want to shoot, I'm more worried about like how I'm going to shoot them, because I really want to shoot a deer over a decoy. It's still something I have not done. So I'm like, you know what? If I'm going to do this, we're going to have some fun with it. And I'm just going to start bringing the decoy with me, like, everywhere it's reasonable to bring it. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to bring it and put it out. And one of these days, I'm going to kill something over it.
Yeah.
Even if it's a giant three-year-old, I don't care.
Yeah. Decoying is very intriguing to me, even though, number one, I hate dragging a decoy everywhere I go.
Oh, it sucks.
It sucks.
I hate it.
Yeah. And number two, my experience, so there was 2 years I messed around with a decoy, and my experience were more deer were scared by it than were attracted to it. And I just, like, that, those 2 years and the handful of times that I used them in those 2 years, I was just like, you know, I don't need to do this. I can do it a different way. But it is cool to see a deer posture, ears back, head down, just kind of sideways sidestep into them. And I don't know. It's not off the table yet, but I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it.
Yeah. Like I said, I don't have any deer that I'm like super excited about.
Yeah.
So if I scare something away, like, I really don't care. Like, whatever. I mean, great. But I want to get like really cool footage, like you said, of a deer posturing up. You know, I almost killed, you know, I've used a decoy the last couple of years well into December and had really good luck with it. I've had a lot of bucks come into it, usually younger deer. I had an older deer, he was 6 or 7, come into it, but it was just too dark. I mean, I could see it, we had snow, you know, and it's like I could make him out plain as day on the snow. I didn't check the time. I don't know if it was past legal light, but like I drew back. I couldn't see my pin. I was like, I can't shoot this thing. But he was standing, you know, right behind the decoy, snore-wheezed at it. Last year I set it up. I had a little, probably a two-year-old. I saw him cruising across this field and he wasn't going to come near me, but I was like, I want to get him over here just to see what he does with the decoy. So I forget if I rattled or grunted and got his attention. He couldn't see the decoy, but he made his way over. And as soon as he saw it, dude, he just postured up, came, spun around it. And then he attacked the thing and laid it out on the ground into a million pieces. And then he took off running, you know, so that was cool. I really did enjoy that. But like you said, lugging those things around sucks ass, dude. Yeah. It's so much work.
How do you approach your properties when you want to go out, you want to have fun, you want to shoot some deer, you're bringing your kids with you, you know, they want to shoot deer too. Maybe you share that property with your mic buddy and, you know, but now the age structure, maybe because of disease, maybe because just the neighborhood isn't where you would like it to be at. And the bucks are not quote unquote big. Like,
sure.
How do you get there? How do you balance that, all the people hunting these properties and the need to have older age class, bigger antler deer?
Man, I tell you, we've tried for a lot of years to have, you know, don't shoot this deer, don't shoot that deer, only shoot deer of a certain age. And man, we've played that game for a decade. Mm-hmm. And I tell you what, we're in no different position today than we were a decade ago. We don't have any more bucks. We don't have any bigger bucks. We don't have any better age structure, you know. And so it's like we try, but it's like we're hunting such small pieces of property. There's so much pressure around them, whether that's other hunters, whether that's highways and deer getting hit by cars, whether that's sharpshooting or just other factors. It's like I feel like so much of it is so out of our control that we're trying. It's like a fart in a windstorm. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, dude, we're trying. We're not getting anywhere. Yeah. You know, we've passed deer and they disappear or they get hit by a car or they killed by a neighbor. Like it's just happened over and over and over again. It's like we keep trying, but it's not making any sort of difference.
Yeah.
So we've kind of gotten to the point where, you know, my one property that Mike and I hunt, the way that we work that one, it's a big piece of property. It's bow hunting only. We're the only two guys on it. We have ultimate control, you know, and we've agreed just between the two of us that it's a $1 per person property. So we're not going to shoot any more than $1 per season, even though we get two tags in Illinois, because there's just never been a ton of big deer there. Mm-hmm. So like he shot that one there. So he's done. He's done for the year. He'll probably go out and shoot a doe or something because there's a lot of does this year. My other properties that I share with some other people, like some of them are a little bit less experienced hunters that aren't really in it for the trophy. They just want to shoot, you know, a deer, maybe mm-hmm. a decent buck. Like they don't really care. You know, so I'm kind of just like, you know what, guys, go shoot whatever you want, whatever makes you happy. I don't care.
Yeah.
If you end up shooting like the 3-year-old that I want to live till next year, then so be it. Like it is what it is. You know, I don't want to encroach on their experience and what they yeah. want to get out of hunting. They paid the same amount of money I paid on the lease, did the same amount of work I did. Like I don't really have a right to say like you can't shoot this deer. You know, if everybody's on the same page and we kind of get together and say, hey, let's pass this deer. Okay, great. We'll do that. Pretty rare that happens anymore. Yeah. The other thing that I found too is like, you know, so often we're so like worried about these things happening. What if this? What if that? Most of the time that shit never happens anyways. Mm-hmm. They don't kill the deer. It's not an issue, you know. And every once in a while, yeah, the neighbor gets them or whatever. So the one thing that we do, again, just because Illinois is a $2 state, is the majority of the places that we hunt, we kind of have a gentleman's agreement between the guys that hunt there that it's $1 per hunter,
yeah.
you know, per year, just so we don't, you know, because sometimes we got two or three of us on, you know, 100 acres. It's like, dude, we can't all go in there and shoot $2 this year. There's not going to be anything yeah. left.
Yeah. Does habitat improvement work in those areas?
We're leaving today and entering a world of Mickey Mouse waving, princess meeting and greeting, lightsaber clashing, the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror dropping, Banshee flying, Space Mountain launching, galaxy rewinding, what's the whole network galaxy rewinding, fireworks igniting, world of other worlds. For whatever you love, infinite worlds await at the most magical place on Earth, Walt Disney World Resort.
Sierra has all the best active and outdoor brands you need, from athletic stuff, like a full-court pickup game, swish, to athletic-ish stuff, like a half-mile stroll. Get those steps in! And for morning hikes up the mountain trail, good pace, to nighttime ghost stories from the camping chair. What a twist! Whatever level of active, Sierra loves it all. Head to Sierra or Sierra.com for the brands you want at the prices that let you do it all. From athletic to athletic-ish, Sierra's got it.
I'm sure it does, you know, but I mean, dude, it's expensive mm-hmm. to do and it's time consuming. We don't own the property. So yeah. no offense, but I ain't doing habitat improvement on property that I don't own, yeah. that I could possibly, you know, lose at any given yeah. point in time. Yeah. So, I mean, we'll go in and we'll plant some food plots occasionally, in the areas that we can. Some of our property owners allow it. Some don't. So, you know, some places, and I honestly almost prefer the places where we can't do food plots. Mm-hmm. It's just, it's kind of like, it's nice. It's refreshing. It yeah. makes me have to go like actually hunt versus trying to eat. I've always felt like, you know, food plots, I know it's not the same as baiting, but it's the same in that you're trying to lure the animal to you versus mm-hmm. going out and ambushing the animal mm-hmm. in its natural movement pattern. So it's just a different style of hunting. So sometimes it's nice not having any food plots, and it kind of forces yeah. you to go out and do things a different way.
Is there a difference between baiting and a food plot?
I mean, yes and no, right? I mean, again, they're both the same thing in that you're trying to get the animal into you. Mm-hmm. You know, I think I don't think food plots are nearly as effective as baiting, right? Okay. I mean, I've sat a lot of my food plots and not seen deer a lot of times, or seen one deer. It just seems like you put out enough corn, dude, there's freaking deer in it all the time, or whatever you're putting out, feed, minerals, whatever it is. Like the deer, they seem to always be there, mm-hmm. you know, whereas like the food plots, not so much, you know.
Yeah, I gotcha. I gotcha. Yeah, there's all, you know, there's
always. How do you feel about mowing down standing corn, Dan?
See, that's what I'm talking about, right? Like, it's legal in Iowa, but baiting is illegal in Iowa. Right. And so
Illinois, you can mow standing corn in Illinois. And it
you can
legal.
Do the same. You can do that in Iowa, but you can't dump out
shelled corn.
Corn. There's the same amount of corn let's just say in an acre than if you just took it and dumped it. It's just all in one pile instead of distributed on the ground. But I guess
what if I took it out in a spreader and I just dumped a bunch of shelled corn and spread it out everywhere.
So this is the shit that I get fired up about. It's like at the end of the day, there's no difference.
Correct.
There's no difference in the amount of corn on. So like, is it the pile? Like baiting because I don't want the laws in Iowa to change. But I also am the person, I like to have descriptions of these laws of why. Like, what is the difference between it? Why?
The way it was explained to me by a DNR officer, because I've called the DNR multiple times to ask about this. Mm-hmm. Not for myself, because I've never had the opportunity. Not saying that I wouldn't do it. Mm-hmm. But, like, we have guys that film for us that they do that, right? They mow corn and they go hunt over it late season. It's very prevalent.
Oh, yeah.
And I wanted to make sure we weren't airing a hunting video where somebody was doing something illegal. So I called, I know multiple DNR officers that I called directly to their cell phone and said, hey, I have a question for you. We have a cornfield, bush hog it, hunt over it. Is it okay? Is it kosher? 100% yes. And I said the same thing. Well, what the hell's the difference? Their line of demarcation was basically whether the food originated there, i.e. it was grown there, or it was brought in externally. That is the marker.
Okay.
That food was grown right there.
Okay.
So it is not brought in and put there.
Okay. How many times, whether it's Illinois or any of the states where you've hunted, you're walking through an ag field and there's a pile of corn where the combine missed the wagon or the wagon bottom gate was open. The drain where they auger part was open, and there's a pile of corn sitting right there, right? So based off of that, I could combine an entire field and then go there with the combine and drop a pile of it because that's where that corn originated from. Like,
maybe.
What are we doing here?
The problem is I'm not sure that the law is written in a way that you could – that it would stand up if somebody challenged it.
Yeah.
Right? Because I believe what it says is normal agricultural practices, which in my mind, like, what is a normal agricultural practice? Bush hogging a cornfield down?
Yeah.
Not normal, but there's no list somewhere of normal practices that you can refer to. Like, how do you define that? Yeah. And I would say accidentally spilling corn out of a combine is probably far more normal than bush hogging a freaking cornfield down, right?
Yep.
The only thing that I don't like about it is that everybody does it, but nobody talks about it when they do it.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like they want to pretend like they're just hunting over this picked cornfield. You know, they're not, they're just not truthful. Mm-hmm. That's the part that annoys me about it. It's like, we all know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Just tell us what you're doing. Like, hey, I went out today and mowed some corn and I moved a freaking blind on a trailer over it and I'm going to come shoot a deer on it tonight. Like, that's fine. If that's what you're doing, I already know what you're doing. Don't pretend like you're not doing it.
Yeah. That's funny. That's funny stuff. I mean, it's the rules too. So it's like the other one that I am constantly perplexed at is, so ag country, salt licks, okay? They put the salt lick out for horses or cows, right? And they're out on the landscape all year round, right? There's certain scenarios where people will hunt close to that. I've gotten not ticketed, but I've had a guy who I was sharing a property with. He got pissed that I was hunting close to where he was hunting. So he called the DNR officer and he's like, "Hey, just want to let you know, this guy told me you're hunting over a mineral site." And I'm like, "What do you mean?" So I said, "There's a cattle lick on the neighboring property in the middle of this big cattle pasture up by the road. And I'm guessing the deer sometimes visit it. I don't know if they visit it or not, but so that tells me I can't hunt this property because it's close to a cattle lick on another property." And then, so his response to me was, "Well, as long as it wasn't put there to lure deer in." How do you define that?
Yeah, I remember talking to a guy that got busted. Mm-hmm. Well, he got ticketed and they took his deer and he ended up getting it back because he fought in Iowa. But if I recall, the law is written in a way that it's basically the DNR officer's discretion. Mm-hmm. If they feel like the feed or mineral or salt or whatever was altering the travel path, or yeah, whatever, the path of the animal,
and you set allowing up on that path.
Right. But yeah. I mean, the problem with that is, like, again, it's discretionary. Mm-hmm. You know, I think when I hunted Nebraska, we're with an outfitter and they just kind of turned us loose on some of their leases and said, "Go hunt." Mm-hmm. But what they did was they said, "Hey, there's a feeder over there. And in Nebraska, you can't hunt within," I think it was 200 yards of a feeder.
Yep.
So it was basically black, like, "Here's the pin. Here's the pin. Draw a circle 200 yards around it. You can't hunt in that circle."
Yeah.
Great. I mean, that leaves no ambiguity for if a freaking DNR officer wants to be an asshole because he doesn't like you, or because you have a podcast or a show and he wants to make an example out of you. Like, there's no gray area there. It's 200 or it's not. You know, I hate when laws are written in a way where it's like up to the interpretation of the law enforcement officer, you know, and then if he makes the wrong call, then you're screwed. And then you're spending who knows how much money to have to defend yourself in court. It's not like you get any of that back. Like, if they found out, like, "Hey, you know what? The officer was wrong. Sorry about that. Dropping all the charges." They don't reimburse you for all your legal expenses. You're just screwed.
Yep.
And so many people can't afford to defend themselves. Like, it can cost tens of thousands of dollars. A lot of people would be like, "You know what? Screw it. I'm just paying the fine and I'll move on with my life."
Yeah. Well, and the other thing is like trail cameras, right? So they updated the law in Iowa about cellular trail cameras. Well, the updated law is still gray as shit because the law states you cannot use a cellular trail camera to aid in the harvest of wildlife, basically. A cellular device.
What does that mean?
That's the thing. There's no time frame. Like, I feel if you put a time frame on it, it makes it so much easier, right? Like Nebraska.
But I also feel like that's one of those things that's going to be almost impossible to regulate.
Exactly.
That ship has sailed. The cat's out of the bag. So don't even try. Like, at this point, like, just don't even try. I think you could say, I love the idea of no more trail cameras on public ground. Mm-hmm. That I love everywhere. But I do it on private ground. Like, you're never going to be able. There's too many cameras, too many people, enough officers, too much ambiguity. Like, that's an unsolvable problem, unfortunately, unless you just outlaw them entirely, which people would be up in arms at this point.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, for a while there, here's a crazy story. I was talking to someone from Whitetail Properties. And a lot of their clients were calling them asking for the updated rules about Iowa because there's a lot of non-resident landowners who have big hunting properties in southern Iowa and they can't manage their farms. And they want to be able to keep an eye on the deer all year round. You know, non-residents want to make sure there's not people coming on their property all times a year and trespassing and stuff like that. I get it. Right. And so there was a lot of people that were concerned, like, okay, if this goes away, I'm going to sell my property type deal. I think that's a bit extreme, but I don't know.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
If you're the whitetail properties guy, you're like, hell yeah, sell it. I want to make more money.
Just rotate it. Rotate it.
So, yeah. Right.
Outside of that, man, are you ready for the rut?
No, probably not.
Yeah. That's a good answer.
I would say no. I don't really have much of a plan right now for anything. I'm just trying to figure out when I could go hunting. I got roped into coaching football, much like you. So I'm, you know, busy. It's like every evening I'm busy. I got roped into it for my little dude. So this weekend is playoffs are this weekend. So we win, we play again, we lose, we go home.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens this weekend. My time may free up a little bit. You know, my older one, gosh, he'll go into probably November, you know, for his football. My daughter's got cheer. So it's just like, man, I don't know when I can get out, you know, but my wife scheduled family photos. Dan, we have to go get family photos on October 27th at 5 p.m. Yeah. And I'm like, great. That's awesome. I look forward to doing that, wife.
Gotta have you gotta have it at that time of day. Because how beautiful
the lights go, the lights and the colors are going to be great. I can't wait. I'm going to put on my UGG boots and my leggings, and I'll be ready.
And you're
going to
drink your pumpkin spice latte.
I am. I do like a good pumpkin spice latte every now and again. Dan, don't judge me.
Hey, dude, it was funny. I think I was talking. I said this on another podcast, but I was riding down with my buddy to go pick up our deer heads. We use the same taxidermist down at Fort Madison, Iowa. Shout out Old Barn Taxidermy, by the way. You guys,
they do nice work. My processor here in Illinois like sends a bunch of deer to them to get done, and then they have them all. And when I drop my kids' deer off over there, they had a bunch of deer in their showroom. So, they do good work.
Yep, they do great work. But we're going down to pick up our heads, and I'm going through the scooters, and I'm going, hey, I want a, how do I order it? Sugar-free vanilla latte with oat milk, and the guy sitting next to me just started laughing his ass off. So, because it's a foo-foo drink.
Oat milk, though. I mean, come on, Dan. I could get behind the sugar-free vanilla latte, but oat milk, bro?
I don't know, dude. I don't know. The hell? I order it because it's there.
You don't have to order the oat milk, though. It's not even milk. It's just crushed up oats and water.
Yeah, well,
it's
maybe.
It's a hoax. Maybe get some real milk, Dan. You piece of shit.
I didn't know you were a huge advocate for dairy farmers across the country.
My mom works for the dairy lobby or something like that. I don't
really
know who they are. Yeah.
Oh, so you're tied in.
Yeah. I'm an insider.
Okay. Well,
I'm an industry plant.
I'm going to order double dairy next time just to make you happy.
There we go. Give me some extra dairy. Heavy cream, please.
Heavy cream. Yep. There you go. All right. This episode's over. So good luck, Justin. Thanks for taking time out of your day to hop on and, make sure you guys who are listening, go check out Bow Hunt or Die web series on YouTube and wherever else you guys have it. And
subscribe to my channel. Watch my kids hunt. He'll be very excited.
Later, dude. Good luck.
See you, buddy.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.